Hi, this is Sam Payne, host of The Appleseed. And before we start the show, we've got exciting news. Have you ever listened to The Appleseed and thought, hey, I could do that. I've got a story to tell. Well, now here's your chance. This May, we are collecting your stories. We're going to air them in a special episode of The Appleseed called DIY Stories. The episode will air in July, and we want to hear from you. We'd especially love to hear the stories you shared after listening to an episode of The Appleseed. Which memories and stories were sparked for you by listening to the show? Find a quiet spot to record the story on your phone. You can tell a story by yourself or with a friend or family members helping play the parts. It's got to be 5 minutes or less and appropriate for a family audience. Please send your stories to theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. And you may just end up on The Appleseed. Stories have to be submitted by May 31st, 2025 to be considered. And now, on with the podcast. Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Did you ever feel like you were not important just because you were the littlest or the youngest? I've felt that way for sure, though I haven't been the littlest in a long time. And if you've felt that way too, you'll love today's stories, in which the little ones save the day. We'll start with a West African folktale, told for us by the Philadelphia storyteller Charlotte Blake Alston. What happens when a chief falls ill and only the children are brave enough to save him? Here's Charlotte with Nyangara the Python.
So I've traveled to many places, particularly in Western African countries when we go into villages. And often when there's storytelling, at some point in the story, everybody who's gathered, and I mean there's elders, there's babies, there's toddlers, there's everybody who gathers, they will join in, whether it's a song or a chant in the story. So this song was going to be easy to learn. I'm not even going to teach it to you. You'll hear me sing the line, and I'll motion for you to join me. I am told that there is a village, a Shona village, in Zimbabwe, Democratic Republic of the Congo, where children hold a place of high honor, because long ago, children came together with love and with courage to save a dying chief. There was once a young man by the name of Babacar who lived in a village at the foot of a mountain. Often he would play at the foot of that mountain with his friends, but one day he was playing alone when he heard an alarming cry. He followed the sound. It led him through a grove of trees into a clearing. On the other side of the clearing was a bush. On the bush was a hunter's net, and caught in the net was a small but struggling python. The python caught Babacar's eye and called out to him, "Help me. Release me from this net. I have medicine that can help you if you are sick or you are ill." Babacar thought, "Python and men did not always dwell well together." But he had an empathy for all living things. He broke a branch from a tree, pulled off the leaves, sharpened the end on a rock, and began to cut the net and set the python free. Again, the python spoke. It thanked Babacar and said, "Again, if you are in need, if you are sick, if you are ill, sing my song, Nyangara Chena. Nyangara, come out, and I will come." And the two parted ways. Well, time passed, and Babacar grew into manhood. And a day came when the chief of his village lay sick unto death. The men of the council gathered together to choose a successor, and when they emerged, it was Babacar whom they had chosen. They saw how he grew from being a child to being a man. They took note of his empathy for all living things, how he spoke to people with kindness and empathy, they also noted his strength and his courage. Well, on the night before he was to become chief, Babacar took a walk at the foot of the mountain where he had played as a child, absorbed in thought, thinking of the life that had been part of his past and the life that was now to be his future. And he was so absorbed in thought, he wasn't looking where he was stepping and twisted his foot on a rock and lay writhing in pain when he remembered the promise of the python of his youth. And he began to sing the python song. Nyangarachena, 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 Nyang. And sure enough, over the top of the mountain and down came Nyangara, longer, thicker, and stronger than he had been in Babacar's youth, coiled his body around Babacar's foot, moved his tongue back and forth from his heel to his toe. And the pain began to subside. And he put weight on it and stood. And the two spoke again and parted ways. Well, Babacar did become chief. And it is said that he ruled with a wiseness and a fairness that had not been seen in many a year. But a day came, well before he was in his elder years, when he lay sick. He gathered around him the men of the council and said, "You must go to the mountain of Nyangara. You must bring Nyangara down. He has medicine that can help me. Take with you this calabash of water so he might drink from it on this hot day." And he taught the men the song of the python, and the men began to assemble one behind the other, with the first one carrying the calabash of water. And they began to walk towards the mountain of Nyangara, climbed the mountain, stood before his cave, and began to sing his song. Nyangara chena, Nyangara chena. Nyangara began to uncoil himself once, twice, three times, began to climb up the back of the last man, over his head and down his face, up the back of the one in front, over his head and down his face, and he began to stretch himself out on the shoulders of the men. They began to feel the weight of Nyangara. Their fear overtook them. They dropped the calabash and ran back down the mountain. Well, the women, upon seeing this, said, "We will go to the mountain of Nyangara. We will bring Nyangara down to save our dying chief." So the women began to assemble one behind the other, with the first one carrying the calabash of water. They began to walk towards the mountain of Nyangara, climbed the mountain, stood before his cave, and began to sing his song. Nyangara chena, Nyangara chena, Nyangara chena. Nyangara began to uncoil himself once, twice, three times, began to climb up the back of the last woman, over her head and down her face, up the back of the one in front, over her head and down her face, and he began to stretch himself out on the shoulders of the women. They too began to feel the weight of Nyangara. Their fear overtook them. They dropped the calabash and ran back down the mountain. Well, the villagers entered the hut of Babacar and stood around his pallet and watched as the color began to leave his face. And the children who had sat at his feet, listening to him tell the stories of his life, listening to him tell the stories that helped them to live theirs, said, "We will go to the mountain of Nyangara. We will bring Nyangara down to save our dying chief. But we will sing to let Nyangara know why it is we are coming. We will sing to give ourselves courage." So the children began to assemble one behind the other, with the first one carrying the calabash of water. And right outside the hut of Babacar, the children began to sing the python song. Nyangara chena, Nyangara chena. Naiwe Nyangara we tazuku on ya Nyangara. Naiwe Nyangara we mambu we duwa. Nyangara, Nyangara chena, Nyangara. The children climbed the mountain of Nyangara, stood before his cave, and sang their song stronger. Nyangara, Nyangara we tazuku on ya Nyangara. Nyangara, Nyangara we mambu we duwa Yangara began to uncoil himself. Once, twice, three times he began to climb up the back of the last child, over her head and down her face, up the back of the one in front, over his head and down his face. And he began to stretch himself out on the shoulders of the children. They too began to feel the weight of Nyangara. They sang their song stronger. Nyang, na we Nyangara wa tazoku o Nyangara. Na we Nyangara wa mambu wa ruo fa Nyangara. Nyangara chena. Nyangara dipped his head into the calabash of water, and down the mountain came the children with Nyangara on their shoulders, singing their song. Nyang, na we Nyangara wa tazuku o Nyangara. Na we Nyangara wa mambu wa ruo fa Nyangara. Nyangara chena. Nyangara slithered off the shoulders of the children, slid inside of the hut of Babakar, coiled his body around Babakar's body, moved his tongue back and forth from his head to his toe. And the color began to return to his face. And he sat up and stood on wobbly legs, walked outside of his hut, and there before him was every child in the village. And one by one, he held each of them to him in a tight embrace, but told them, Nyangara cannot remain here among the land of men. You must see him safely back to his cave. And so once again, the children began to assemble one behind the other, with the first one carrying the calabash of water, and began to sing the song of the python. Nyangara, na we Nyangara we tazuku o Nyangara. Na we Nyangara we mambu wedu o fa Nyangara. Nyangara chena. Nyangara slid off the shoulders of the children, slid back inside of his cave, coiled his body back up. And when the children saw that he was safely inside, they dropped that calabash and ran all the way back down that mountain. But from that day to this, the children of that village hold a place of high honor, because so long ago, children came together with love and with courage to save their dying chief.
That was Charlotte Blake Alston with the story Nyangara the Python. And listening to this story makes me think of the things that generations have to offer each other. I'm a big believer in the idea of learning things from the people who have gone before. The wisdom and example and legacy of my parents and their parents, that's always been important to me. Through my whole life, I've benefited from paying attention to what my elders can teach me. But as a grown-up, kind of an elder myself, I guess, I have found just as much insight looking the other way, toward the people who have come after me, in addition to the people who've come before me. The wisdom of my parents and grandparents has saved my life in so many ways, but the insight and enthusiasm and courage of my kids has saved the day just as often. A couple of weeks ago, I organized the books in my office. It was a big job. I've been around for a few years, and I have a lot of books. And as I got into it, pretty soon, I was surrounded by stacks of books on the floor, and my first thought was that part of organizing them should be to get rid of some of them, some of the ones maybe that I didn't feel like I needed anymore. So I started going through the stacks, and there were plays by Shakespeare there, and the Odyssey, and Beowulf, and Frankenstein, classics, you know? And there were brand new books, too, by new writers, some of them not even born when I was first reading books. And, well, I found that I couldn't get rid of many of them in the end. I needed all the old voices and all the new voices, too, to make that world of information complete. If you're in the middle of your road like I am, as often as you look up the path to those ahead of you, look to those behind you on the path, too, the ones coming after you. It's a sure bet they've seen some stuff you missed. And that's where Charlotte's story about children saving the day took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the apple seed.
There's a lot more coming up, but I wanted to introduce you to another show from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and it's a podcast in which host Stephen Cap Perry talks with a different person in every episode about their walk of faith, their faith tradition, their relationship with the divine. And whether you want to strengthen your own faith or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion and about a walk of faith with a terrific listener, that's Stephen Cap Perry and In Good Faith. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to In Good Faith whenever you like, whenever you need it. It's another great podcast from BYU Radio.
Oh, tell me some more. Okay, I'll proceed with my story inspired by the apple seed.
It's such a pleasure to be with you today on the Appleseed Podcast. Next up, we have Tim Lowry with an Appalachian folktale. And the pint-sized hero of this story isn't a kid or even a human at all. It's a wily little squirrel. We think you'll have a ball with Sodi Saliratus. Here's Tim.
I live in South Carolina, but I was born and raised in the mountains of Kentucky. So I like to say, I work in South Carolina, but it's Kentucky's fault. So this is a story from my childhood in the Appalachian Mountains. Once they was this mammy and pappy, and they had two little youngins, the feisty little boy and a pretty little girl, and they lived way over across Pine Mountain over on Line Fork. You know, over there on Line Fork, they ain't got no telephone, no television, none of that kind of thing. So all they had for entertainment was they had them a squirrel that the pappy had caught, and they put that squirrel up on the shelf above the fireplace, and it would run back and forth and back and forth, and all the family just stand there watching it going back and forth, back and forth. And every once in a while, that squirrel would chatter like that. And that's really entertaining to them folks over there in Line Fork. Yeah, it was the simple times, simple people. So one night, they was watching that squirrel go back and forth and back and forth over there on the shelf above the fireplace. And the mammy, she said, I think I'll make a pan of biscuits for our supper. And she had run out of baking soda. So she reached down her apron pocket, and she took out a nickel, and she gave it to that feisty little boy. And she said, I want you to run to the store and get me a box of Sodi Saliratus. Long time ago, folks used to call baking soda Sodi Saliratus. That's what they called it. And so she said, don't be a lollygagging on the side of the road. You go right down there to the store and get that box of Sodi Saliratus and come right back here so I can bake up them biscuits. Well, that little boy, he took off down the road. He was running just as fast as he could. He was going, whippity-cut, whippity-cut, whippity-cut. You can do that. Are you ready? Here we go. Whippity-cut, whippity-cut, whippity-cut. Yeah, just like that. You could be a little boy from Line Fork, I reckon. Whipped and cut right down to the store and slapped that money down on the counter, and the fella that run the store gave him a box of baking soda, and he headed for the house. Well, he started back up the road, whippity-cut, 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 whippity-cut. And you know, when he come back up the road, he had to go over that big humpback bridge that goes over the creek there, and he had no way of knowing it. But there's a big old black bear denned up underneath that bridge, and all of a sudden that bear come a-running out and said, Bwah! I heard you whippity-cutting across the top of my bridge. I'm going to eat you up, you and your box of Sodi Saliratus. And he gobbled him right up. Well, back at the house, everybody wondered, the mammy and the pappy and that pretty little girl, where that feisty boy had got to. And finally the mama said, I reckon he stopped off the side of the road to play. Come here, pretty little girl. So that little girl come over there and she said, run to the store and fetch your brother home. I can't make them biscuits with that box of baking soda. So that little girl lit out. She was wearing her dancing shoes. So she was running along going, tap-de-tap, tap-de-tap, tap-de-tap. Y'all could do that. Yeah, tap-de-tap, tap-de-tap, tap-de-tap. She tip-tapped right into the store and she asked that store man about her brother. And the store man said, oh yeah, he's in here. That was about a half hour ago. You don't reckon he stopped off the side of the road to play? Or she gonna find out? Out she went. Tap-de-tap, 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 tap-de-tap. She tapped right to the top of that big old humpback bridge where that bear was denned up underneath it. She had no way of knowing. And he come a-running out. Bwah! I heard you tip-tapping across the top of my bridge. I done it up, that feisty little boy, him and his box of Sody Sally Ratus, and now I'm gonna eat you too. Bwah, 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 and gobbled her right up. Well, back at the house, there's that mammy and there's that pappy sitting there looking at each other, watching that squirrel run back and forth across the shelf above the fireplace. And finally, the mammy said to the pappy, do you reckon? And the pappy said, yep, I reckon. Them youngins, both of them, has stopped off the side of the road to play, and us here about half-starved to death can't bake them biscuits so they get home with that box of Sody Sally Ratus. And so the pappy said, why don't you go fetch them home? Well, that woman jumped up and went out in the yard, and she broke down a limb, and she headed off down the road just filled with righteous indignation. She's ready to dust somebody's britches. She had that limb, and she was going, whippity-cut, whippity-cut. Y'all could do that, too. Whippity-cut, 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 whippity-cut. Does your mama ever send you out to cut your own limb before you get a cutting with it? Oh, you didn't grow up on Line Fork, or you'd know what I was talking about. Yeah, she whipped and cut right into the store, and she asked that store man about them missing youngins of her, and he said, oh, yeah, they's both in here. That's about an hour ago. You don't reckon they stopped off the side of the road to play? Or she gonna find out? So out they went. Whippity-cut, 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 whippity-cut. She got to the top of that humpback bridge, and that big old bear come a-running out. Bah! I heard you whippity-cutting across the top of my bridge. I done ate up that purty little girl, and I ate up that feisty little boy, him and his box of Sody Sally Ratus, and now I'm gonna eat you too. Bah, 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 and gobbled her right up. Well, back at the house, there's that old man about half starved to death. His woman didn't come home to make them biscuits. So he got up and got his walking stick, and he headed out. Hunchty-womp, hunchty-womp, hunchty-womp. Now y'all are getting it. Very good. Hunchty-womp, hunchty-womp, hunchty-womp. He hunched and womped right into the store. Asked a store man about his family. He said, oh, yeah, they's all in here. That's about an hour and a half ago. You don't reckon they all stopped off the side of the road to play? He gonna find out. Hunchty-womp, hunchty-womp, hunchty-womp. Hunched and womped to the top of that bridge, you know as good as me. That big old bear come a-running out underneath. I'm a-getting tired. Y'all do the bear part. Are you ready? That was what it was. And he said, I heard you hunchy womping across the top of my bridge. I done ate up that old woman, and I ate up that pretty girl, and I ate up that feisty boy, him and his box of Sody Sally Ratus, and now I'm going to eat you too. Gobbled him right up. Well, back at the house, there wasn't nobody there, except in that squirrel. And it jumped off the shelf above the fireplace and run down and out the door. Its long tail was a-frisking behind it. It was running along going, fristy-frisk, 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 fristy-frisk. Frisked right into the store, jumped up on the counter, asked that store man. Store man said, yeah, they's all in here. That's about 2 hours ago. You welcome. Out it went, fristy-frisk, fristy-frisk, fristy-frisk. Frisk right to the top of that humpback bridge. That big old buyer come running out. Bwah! Oh, you was disappointed because you didn't get to do it that time. Okay, so let's do it again. Ready? That buyer come out. Bwah! You feel better now? Good, good. And it said, I done ate up the old man, and I ate up the old woman, and I ate up that purty girl, and I ate up that feisty boy, him and his box of Sody Sally Ratus, and now I'm going to eat you too. Well, that squirrel took a big flying leap and jumped over to a tree and skittered right up into the top of that tree, and that old bear started to climb up behind him. And that squirrel skittered out on a limb, and that bear come out after him. And then that squirrel jumped from one tree branch across the road into another tree.
And that old bear said, if you can jump across the road into another tree on your little legs, I know I can do it on my great big ones. And he stretched himself and missed the tree branch, and he come down right in the middle of the road, whomp! And cause he had swallowed that box of sody saleratus, and it had bloated him up so, he busted wide open. And out come the pappy and the mammy and the girl and the boy. They all went home and made up a big pan of biscuits, and they kept breaking off pieces to give that squirrel, and that squirrel ate two whole biscuits before it curled up on the fireplace shelf and went to sleep. And that was the end of that.
That was Tim Lowry with Sody Saleratus. Did you ever have to save the day even though you were the littlest or the youngest? Did you ever have to face odds that seemed bigger than you? Did you ever band together with others to accomplish something important? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. And we recently aired a bonus episode of NASA Adventures, all strung together by the great storyteller Jay O'Callaghan into a long storytelling piece called Forged in the Stars. And a listener named Janine Stifler wrote us a note about the episode. She said, okay, I'm not big into outer space, so when I landed on this story, I was going to change it. But I had wet paint on my hands, so I left it. What a blessing that was. I laughed. I cried when he told Krista McAuliffe's story. What a lovely story brought to life by an exceptional storyteller. Thank you. Well, thank you, Janine, for sending us that message. We love that episode, too. And if you'd like to listen to Forged in the Stars, you can find it in Season 9 of The Appleseed. Just take a look. And if you have a story or a message for us, we'd love to hear it. You can reach us through our social media channels or email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. We want to thank Charlotte Blake Alston and Tim Lowry for their tales today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. The rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.